Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we're able to share this time together. I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new person, we're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. And let me begin the broadcast in prayer. Let's join our hearts together. Father, I thank you for my radio listening family. I thank you now, Lord, as we draw close to you, as we draw our hearts toward the things of God. Lord, even as we do that, the several needs that are in our lives, the things that we are facing, the things that we need answer for, Lord, I thank you that you will minister and move and make a way, that you will be Jehovah Jireh, you will be our provider, you will be our Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and God, that you will just minister to the needs of those who are listening as we seek to learn in greater and ever-increasing fashion the great love that you have for us and how total, how complete is the redemption that you have provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I would like to begin a message which I've entitled Touching the Heart of God. And as we read the Gospels, as we look at the various ways and the different situations in which Jesus ministered, we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what I'm not going to be this is not the reference, the scriptural reference we'll be looking at. We're actually going to be going into the first book of Samuel. But I'm thinking of the Gospels, and do you remember that account of the centurion who came to Jesus? And he was a good man, and he had a servant who was near death, but he was a Roman centurion, and he sent word. He wanted Jesus to come and to heal his servant, and then he must have had second thoughts, and he sent word. He said, Lord, don't bother, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but I'm a man under authority, and so I'm asking that if you would just give the word, my servant will be healed. And the amazing thing was Jesus' response to it. He marveled. It says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And so we know, and this is just one example, that Jesus is moved by faith. And there's another circumstances I'm thinking of, remember the widow at Nain? There was a funeral procession that Jesus met, and it doesn't say anywhere that she was just, it was an only son, and there was great mourning and wailing, and of course in those days, they would even hire professional mourners. It was a very loud occasion. In other words, in today's our funerals, we tend to be rather quiet and reserved. But they were in the process of going to bury this young man. And it doesn't say anything about the mother, but she had lost her only son. And Jesus went to her. She didn't ask him. She didn't seek him out like the woman with the issue of blood who just said, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She did nothing, but he was touched with compassion because he saw her sorrow. And in those days, to lose an only son, to lose a man in the household was a very serious thing. And so we see that our God is touched not only by our faith, but also by the needs that we have in our lives. And some of you might be brokenhearted as you're listening to me right now. Things have happened in your life and you're crushed, you're grief-stricken. But I want you to know that the Lord is touched by your sorrow. And we want to look at how we can touch the heart of the Lord. And we're going to be reading a passage of Scripture scripture perhaps familiar to you, and it's the story of a woman by the name of Hannah who had led a very sorrowful life for her times and her circumstances. And I'm going to be reading now just highlights from chapter 1. It speaks in that very first verse of a man by the name of Elkanah, and he was an Ephratite of the tribe of Ephraim. And he had two wives, verse 2 says. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And in that day, of course, that was a source of rebuke. It was a woman's honor and privilege to raise up children in the admonition of the Lord. And it says in verse 3, this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, he of course was the high priest, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. She was barren. And her adversary, that is Peninnah, also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. In other words, she was very unhappy. And as he did so, year by year, now this was not just a one-time event, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And then Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And of course he understood. He said, am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post in the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was greatly troubled. And what we see, just to kind of set a background, that there was a man by the name of Eli who was high priest, and he had sons. But during this period of time, if you read further into the book of 1 Samuel, we see the priesthood was morally bankrupt. And we see also this precious handmaid of the Lord who is very sorrowful, heavy of spirit. But we see the Lord moving in her behalf, and her sorrow is turned into joy. Beloved, you may feel like you're mourning now, but God is going to turn your mourning into dancing. He's going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's going to cause those things that have been heavy weights upon your heart, the burdens you've carried, you're going to see God intervene in your behalf. Now, the high priest of Israel during this time was named Eli. His sons were ministers in the priesthood, but they were wicked men. And as we just shared, Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, had two wives. One was Hannah, one was Peninnah, and Hannah was without children. Now, her very name, that name Hannah, means grace. And we find that she was a woman of sorrowful spirit because she was childless. It says in verse 5, the Lord had shut up her womb. And then in verse 15, when Eli is addressing her, and Hannah answers and said, because he assumed she was drunken, because she was just moving her lips, she was praying quietly inside in her heart. And he said, put away your wine. And she says, no, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my heart, my soul, before the Lord. Elkanah, who was to become the father of the future prophet judge, was a Levite of the family of Kohath. And Elkanah went up each year to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord in Shiloh. And when the time came for Elkanah to offer his sacrifice unto the Lord, it says he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her children portions, but he gave a worthy portion to Hannah because he loved her. And she was sorrowful because she knew, as the women of today even know that, as the word tells us, children are a heritage of the Lord. And because she didn't have this heritage, she was exceedingly sorrowful. She considered it a shame to be without children. And if we can just pause for a moment, I believe we might be able to find a parallel in the church today, if you will. I wonder how many of us are exceedingly sorrowful because we really bear no fruit for their Father God and their eternal husband, Jesus Christ. Think about it. She was barren, and some of you listening now might feel, even at times myself, I have felt that I have not been very fruitful for the Lord. And that is not measurable not only in terms of children, and of course in this case we're talking spiritual children, but also in terms of the other kinds of fruit, such as the very character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. And do you mourn over the fact that you sometimes so fail the Lord and you want to be fruitful for him? Well, we look at Peninnah. She had children, but instead of rejoicing and desiring to see Hannah's womb also be fruitful, she persecuted Hannah very grievously. The name Hannah is translated grace or favor. The name Peninnah is translated coral or pearl. And she mocked Hannah because she was barren. She did this on purpose to make her fret. She wanted her to be sorrowful. There's such a great contrast between the two women. And likewise, there's a great contrast between true Christianity and churchianity. Because Hannah had no children, the unloving and ungodly Peninnah sneered at her today. And there are many today who seem to enjoy great material blessings, but their hearts are far from the Lord. Well, I'm just getting into the message, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast, and I pray that you'll be able to join me. But if you feel that you're as a Hannah right now, that you are mourning because there are things that you need God to do in your life, you want to be fruitful for the Lord, you feel that your ministry is not going anywhere, God knows your heart, and he's wanting you to cry out to him, which of course you can do as you come before him face to face. But also, beloved, there is an importance in agreeing prayer. There's an importance in connecting with a spiritual partner, if you will. We're going to see that as we go on in tomorrow's teaching. But I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me and for your prayers. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.